Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Nettle Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. Nobody loves you more than the Lord. He loves you so much. He sent His only begotten Son to die for you. And Jesus willingly came and died for you. And He suffered and died for us. He loves us so much. And I want people to know how He is. When I first got born again, I was so excited. I said, I didn't know that it was like this. Nobody told me how good it was. And I want people to know how good God is. God loves us. The love of God runs so much deeper, just like we talked about in the last broadcast. He loves us so much. And He wants to do great things in our lives. He's even interested about what you're interested in. So God is genuinely a friend to you. He's interested in what you're interested in. He's not trying to take something from you. He's trying to give you everything. So everything of God has a balance to it, a protocol. God is wise, folks. And I want people to know He thinks of everything. I'll tell you how you can find out for yourself. If you have any need, seek out to God about it. Jesus said, knock, seek, and ask. Knock, seek, and ask. And it's the Father's good pleasure to teach you and give you the kingdom. So any need you have, whether it's a pain in your body, if you seek the Lord about it, not only will you end up healed, you're gonna learn things along the way. If you need something, if you seek the Lord about it, He's gonna answer you. He's gonna show you things. Now, to everybody that do have pain in your body, reach toward the radio right now. Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, bless their bodies to feel good again. Some people forgot what it's like to feel good again. And everybody who reached out to you by faith, Lord, I thank you for the miracles that you're doing right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that you'll touch their lives, touch their bodies. Because by Jesus' stripes, they are healed. We are healed. The Lord loves us. And He can do great things in our lives. Everybody who seeks the Lord, God don't ignore you. Now, cold religion does. And you can trace cold religion back to the wicked. If you study the book of Acts, the apostles went about doing good, teaching the word of God, obeying Jesus, telling people about the Holy Spirit, healing the sick, raising the dead. And the wicked religious puppets of Satan, They happened to be Jews, the Pharisees, and sometimes the scribes and the priests. They wanted to make it against the law because they didn't know God themselves. The Lord once told His disciples to be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. So I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what is the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod? I had an idea. I asked Him about it before. He gave me some answers. But I wanted to know more specifically. I said, what is the leaven of Herod? The Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And He answered me. And this is what He said. The Pharisees love praise. Herod loves power. Then He said, Satan loves both. I said, wow. And I knew it was God who answered me. See, He loves to answer us. The Pharisees were jealous of Jesus. They couldn't do what He did. They wanted praise. They would fast and act like they were suffering to get praise of man. They put a lot of money in the plate to get the, not to honor God, not to build the kingdom, but to get the praise of man. They wanted the best seats in the house. Now Herod, he loved power. When the wise men came, wanting to know where the Christ was, who would be the king of Israel, he got jealous. He saw Jesus as a threat to his power. And he had all the children around the age of Jesus, 2 years under, he had them killed. That's why Mary and Joseph took him to Egypt. And the scripture was, they fulfilled the scripture going to Egypt, because there's a scripture that said they would flee to Egypt. And then he came out of Egypt. See, God knows, man, he's way ahead of the wicked. If you follow God, you'll be way ahead of the wicked. And the Lord's going to show himself strong in your life if you trust him, not only as your Savior, but as your Lord, as your King, as your God. Do whatever he say in the word. Be diligently obey God. Be quick, be faithful, and prompt. See, my definition of the latest definition of obedience that God gave me is prompt faithfulness. Be quick to be faithful in the things of God. Treasure the word of God, and you won't have a problem being prompt in faithfulness. The Lord wants to show you things. The Holy Spirit, he came to guide us into all truth. We covered that 2 weeks ago. And before that, he don't want you in the dark. Many Christians get indoctrinated. Cult leaders are indoctrinated. And when people are indoctrinated, they stop thinking. Now, Charles Capps, he taught me that. I was listening to him one day, and the Lord told him that when people are indoctrinated, they stop thinking. They're standing on a fact that they agree with. That don't mean it's true. But watch this. The truth of God's word will bear fruit in your life. It will cause your life to work. False doctrines cause your life to fail and not work. Did you hear that? The word of God, the pure written word of God, nothing bad can come from God. James said the things of God, the wisdom of God is first pure, peaceable, easy to be entreated, without hypocrisy. Remember those scriptures? You receive his word, that's purity. It works. But indoctrination don't. The enemy loves to take a truth and blend some truth with it. But see, the bad part is the lies don't work. God can't use a lie to help you. God can't use deception to help you. Now watch this here. This is James chapter 3. He said, I start up here at verse 8. He said, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. That, and he said, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. And that's true. We should never be that way. But as we're growing up, sometimes things may happen, but it shouldn't. It's not of God that people speak blessing and cursing. Verse 11, then he gave us an example. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Or can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, or either a vine figs? So no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. Now watch verse 14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. So if you want to get rid of confusion and every evil work, get rid of envy and strife. And I was watching I think it was Kenneth Copeland last night. No, it was Andrew Womack. He said strife causes the devil to be there. No, it was another minister. Anyway, he said strife causes the devil to be with you. That's of the devil. If people are having a strife match and they stop talking, and then you come up minutes later, you never heard him speak, you can feel it in the room. So where there's envy and strife, there's confusion and every evil work. Husbands, don't be in strife with your wives. Wives, don't be in strife with your husband. Yield to the Lord. Now this is what I was really getting to, verse 17. He said, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So nothing evil can come from God. Nothing evil can come from the heart of God. Only truth can come from the Holy Spirit. And he'll give you his fruit. He'll give you what you need to know. So the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And the best teachers know how to make peace with their children. Did you hear that? The best teachers, even in elementary school, they make peace with the children. And they're still the authority figure. They don't have to do what the children want them to do. They make peace, and then they can teach them. That goes for ministers too. The best ministers, they know how to make peace with people. Not that deceitful peace, but real peace. And then people can learn from it. Very important to understand. Now, do you want your God to love you like God does? The wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. That's how God is, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Or do you want a God that lie to you and get you in trouble? And then when you die, they mock you. That's what Satan does. That's the kind of God he is. And all the other lies that he taught people. Other religions cause people to miss out on a relationship with Father God through Jesus Christ. So they can't help you, can they? And when you die, you go to a miserable place because those gods lied to the people. Those belief systems didn't work. And it's terrible to find out that your religion was wrong when you're falling in the flames. But God won't lie to you now because he can't and he don't want to. He loves you only. And people who understand him, people who were taught by him, they love you too. I know I love you. I said, Lord, how is love measured in heaven? Love is measured by what people do. So I thank God for everybody that love people. You know, doctors go to school for years so they can be a blessing to people. And my daughter's going to school to be a doctor so she can be a blessing to people. So that's the heart of God. Now, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com. Newlivingletters.com. Everything is free. You know, it's free because it's not cheap, but it's free. There's three books. There's on audio page 7. This broadcast is there on real time. And remember, these broadcasts are longer on the radio than they on the website than they are on the radio. We play the first 15 minutes. So and also, if you want to hear my father, who he passed in 2010, but I made him a web page and I got his sermons on audio page 8. Now, nothing evil can come from God. The heart of God is good, folks. And he shows you what the Holy Spirit will show you the truth of things. And he taught me how to combat Satan, how to fight him. Satan is tricky. The Holy Spirit helped me learn how to fight him. You can't fight him with weapons, with natural weapons. You have to fight Satan with spiritual weapons and spiritual principles. And the first way you fight Satan is obedience. If you're going to be disobedient to God, you're not going to win against Satan. I'm going to say that again. If you're going to live disobedient to God on purpose, you're not going to win against Satan. Now watch what James said. He said in verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But the first thing he said is submit yourselves therefore to God. He didn't just say resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now let's go back. Because whenever you see the word therefore, is that scripture is following another example, a thought that was previous. So let's go back to verse 1. James 4 says, from where do wars and fightings, where do they come from among you? From whence come wars and fightings among you? Where do they come from? Why are they in your midst? And then he said, come they not here, even of your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. He said, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And that can't be undone. If you love something that's not of God, you become the enemy of God. That's the purpose of sin, to cause you to choose of your own free will to be the enemy of God. It takes away your appetite for what's right. And lust. Anytime you see the word lust, God never gave us lust. Lust is something else. It's not love. Lust causes men to look at women as an object, not a daughter of God. It has nothing to do with love. It's an evil passion. And it has nothing to do with the love of God. It causes men to look at women as pleasure objects. And it takes away their humanity. And the same thing with women. Women can see a man and lust after him. That's not what God designed us to be. We're not objects, we're people. And everybody must be respected. Everybody must be loved. God, in the first place, Adam shared the love of God. He understood the love of God. And lust was not a problem. That came about when the sons of God, which were angels, fallen angels, they married the daughters of men. And they projected love. They projected their lust into their children. And that's why you see on TV people playing with lust. See, lust will die if something didn't keep it alive and make it tantalizing. And the enemy do this all the time. And some people fall prey to it. But when you see it for what it is and you understand what it does to you, it's something you need to live without. So the way you overcome it is to do what God does, love everybody. The Lord taught me to be free from all forms of temptation by love. You can't lust after a person that you love. I'm not talking about schoolyard love. I'm talking about the love of Jesus. I love every woman the way Jesus loved me. And I started speaking that. And then it happened for me. And I love them, so I can't lust after them. That may sound crazy, but it works. And the Lord taught me this years and years ago. So, if you handle the things of God, you can do so much better in your life. He said, do you think that the scripture says in vain that the spirit dwell in us lust to envy? But he gives more grace. Wherefore, he says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So don't be proud in your ways and in your heart and in your position. Don't be proud against God. But be humble, because those are the people God can work with. He says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God. This is our promise. I love verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Because it's worth it. If sin was a problem, he said, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. He's talking about worldly joy. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. He shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brother. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that should judge another? And this is an election year. And possibly the year that the Lord will return, because it's a Shemitah year. I don't know when Jesus will actually come, but I know it's imminent and I know it's very soon. Every year I get more surprised to see a new year. With that being said, don't get in strife with these politicians. Don't speak evil of anybody. Because you don't want strife to separate you from God's heart. You don't want strife to form sin in your life. And it will. Because if you don't forgive others, all the politicians that played me and didn't do right and stole money and made everything go, I have to forgive them. I forgive them because God forgave me of worst of sins myself. And I want all my sins forgiven. So I'm not going to hold a grudge against anyone. When I first got saved, you know, my family a long time ago was once slave. They were in slavery. And so I forgave the slave owners. I forgave the enemies that I grew up with, people that I didn't like. I forgave them and prayed for them, and I saw that it pleased God. I also sensed that it made Satan upset. And I said, who else can I forgive? And I thought about the fact that we were once in slavery. I watched that movie, Roots, when I was in grade school, and I saw how bad slavery was. So I forgave the people who did that to my family. And slavery was harsh many times. But I forgave them. Why? Because people, now watch this. People are people. And people who were slaves, some of the people that were slaves desired to be a slave master. This is not isolated to one race of people. Because the Egyptians themselves used to be slave owners. They enslaved the Hebrews. And they were black. The Ethiopians didn't do that. They're still in their lands. But the Egyptians got scattered all over the world. Because they caused Israel to be scattered all over the world. So slavery is not isolated to just one race. But I put it this way. If you ever sold drugs, what do you think that is? That's slavery itself. You turn a person into a crack zombie because that it makes them rob, steal, take whatever possession they have, sell it, and bring you money. And I've seen them do it. Every drug dealer they had slaves. Everybody that partook of their drugs became their slaves. And they became their slave master. It don't matter what color they were. And modern slavery is credit cards. They can change the rate. They let you build it up and you pay them a third of your income. Now, but God is not like men. So you have to remember, God is not like people. He's not like politicians. He's not like drug dealers. He's not like rogue kings. He's not like the adulterer or the homosexual or the fornicator. He is pure in his ways. And he loves you. He died in your place. Now, because Jesus died in our place, if we don't believe on Jesus, we didn't want him in our life. We didn't want him in our thinking process. We didn't want him to be our Lord. And we rejected him from being our Savior. And that's why people go to hell. But God loves you. See, if you have faith in Jesus, then his blood destroys your sin. And you don't want it in your life anymore. And you begin to understand, hey, sin wasn't helping me in no way. And everybody I know that's on their way to heaven, they are so thankful that they don't have to go to hell. The people who stayed in the love of God, they are very thankful. Even now, even though they got saved years ago, they are very thankful that they don't have to go to hell. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is our Lord.